Reese is actually wearing a Canadian Politics is Boring t-shirt.
I am.
I'm jealous.
It's cool. This is going to be a strong show, and I can feel the energy.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello and welcome to a very, very special episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. I'm Reese.
I'm Jesse.
And,
What do we have for us today, Reese?
I have a friend from the UK, John.
Oh, is this going to be one of those special episodes where we have a guest on?
It is, John.
Oh, boy.
Welcome,
I'm just
going to
keep talking over John until it's
going to let John talk. He's going to be, hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Uncle John? Is it, he wants us to call him Uncle John, I believe.
I feel the sort of, you know, that friendly, that warm, welcoming Uncle John gives a real sense of community. So I'm happy for Uncle John. John is fine.
Wow.
But whatever you feel, just let it come out of all the holes.
Okay, Uncle John, I mean, from Uncle John every hole.
Uncle John every hole, Mr. every hole.
So John is a very good friend of mine from back in the UK.
You guys, so I was going to mention something about that because you guys sound like you have different accents.
Well, you were from Newport and I'm from the Valleys.
Is that a difference?
Yeah.
And you live in Bristol.
I live in Bristol now, but I mean, that's like not even Wales, but
no.
Newport is not that far from where Reese is from.
Is that where you are now? You're in?
I'm in Bristol now. So I left Wales about 4.5 years ago and I moved about 45 minutes away. So I literally can just get in the car and go back anytime. Apart from this.
In Wales, drive half an hour and there's a completely different accent.
Well, it's like Nova Scotia. You know, you're in mainland Nova Scotia and you drive half a day to get to Cape Breton, but in Cape Breton, it's incredibly thick and amazingly different accent than mainland
Nova
Scotia. So yeah, all right.
I'll introduce John a bit as well. John,
please.
You are a famous comedy rapper from the group Goldie Looking Chain, but also we work together on The Unexplainers. The comedy mystery road trip podcast for years.
The smash hit BBC radio series that took the UK by storm.
It did. And some parts of America.
And some parts of America. Over 18 people listened. Which I'm incredibly
And which eventually became, we did a live show on stage at a comedy festival and a TV show.
Yes, it did really well, actually. And I loved doing that. That was with Mikey Bubbins, who presented it with me as well.
Who's sadly no longer with us. I'm joking. He's still alive.
He's still alive. He's fine. He's absolutely fine. It's really good. I don't know if you can access the BBC Sounds app. I don't know if you use something to bypass it because you're in another country. I don't know. I have no idea how technology works. But all the series are up on the BBC Sounds app at the moment, so you can check it out. And we got to check out everything from poltergeists and ghosts to time travel and meet real people who'd experienced these things and then get real scientists to debunk them.
This is The Unexplainers.
My favorite episode is when we went to look for Bigfoot in Wales and we didn't find him, but you played through a speaker in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of the night, the sound of a rutting tortoise. And it was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Did you do this with your mouth? Like, it just...
No, he had the sound effect. And they go like, you do the noise. What noise do they make?
The actual, it goes like this.
Oh, wait. No, he's not making that up. I've heard it before.
That's
what they sound like.
That's a rutting tortoise.
That's amazing that you've practiced that enough that you know exactly how to do that with your mouth.
Burnt into your mind once you've heard it.
It's amazing. Speaking of mouth noises, I have a quick announcement to make.
Yes.
About, so I as some of our listeners may know, I clear my throat a lot, and it's something I'm aware of, and I'm trying to stop, and I'm trying to help as like that. But we had a comment recently on Apple Podcasts, a review about this guy. Now, before I go on to explain what this review had to say, I just want to state out loud that I am not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's
stupid.
I am not fetish shaming.
fetish shaming.
No, no. In fact, I would say I'm fetish encouraging. Okay. So this man listened to our podcast. He came back for season two and he was so distraught with my clearing of my throat. And now I have nasal drip and whatnot. I'm working on it. But like, he was so distraught that he went back and spent time and wrote down every single time that I cleared my throat. Now, I don't know about you, but
when did that happen? I didn't see that.
Well, yeah, you sent it to me.
It was just a comment. They didn't write down every time you
did. Yeah, I'll bring it out of my... that's exactly what he said. He wrote it down. Like, he literally wrote down. Yeah.
Wow. That's dedication from a fan. I look at it as a positive thing.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. If someone's spending that much time listening to my...
Thank you very much.
Right, my mouth noises. To me, that tells me that they enjoy listening to my mouth noises that much. So, sir, if you're listening... I don't know your name, just your nickname on that, but send us an email, canadianpoliticsisboring.
Do you know it's a sir?
It could be a ma'am. Yeah, at gmail.com, canadianpoliticsisboring@gmail.com, and I will personally give you an hour of just Jesse mouth noises, and that's it. No talking, just clearing my throat, sniffing my nose, various other gurgles, just for you, because I know it kind of gets you going a bit, otherwise you would not have spent so much time kind of counting them. This is what I do for my fans.
Yeah, there we go.
Yep.
Anyway,
starting now.
John, we're here to talk about a very special subject. So, John, you live in the UK still?
Yeah.
As far as
it's falling apart as we speak. It's a bit like Mad Max at the moment.
Physically falling apart, like an apocalypse.
Yeah, the whole thing's just a complete mess at the moment. It's a sort of living hell, but you've got to have a laugh, you know. So hopefully we can.
I'm assuming this has to do with Brexit, which I know very little to nothing about.
Brexit basically means there's no food and you can't actually ever leave the country again. And by all accounts, the government are introducing weapons to every household, and we will have to fight to the death in order to survive.
Sounds like a British Hunger Games.
It's going to be good. Yeah,
I moved to Canada 3 years ago, and I'm missing all the fun.
Yeah, it's really getting good. I've put a metal spike on the front of my car. So that's cool.
Well, we're here to talk about the person who is leading that chaos, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister, Leader of the UK people.
Cool. I have to admit, I know nothing about Boris Johnson, as goes our show, Reese. I know nothing about whatever you talk about until you talk about it, so I'm excited.
I thought it'd be fun to introduce Boris Johnson to the Canadian audience.
Enjoy this.
Yeah.
Enjoy this.
He's got like a crazy mop of hair, doesn't he?
That's
all I know him for, and he has something to do with Brexit.
Imagine a potato covered in bleached blonde pubes. I think that's... Yeah, pretty much who's controlling our country.
That's right, amazing. That's a very apt description.
And just as like America got rid of Trump recently, Boris Johnson's gonna be prime minister for at least another 4 years.
Oh wow, really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
He got re-elected?
Yeah. No, he's just started.
Oh.
Like in the last few years.
That's right. He's gonna be in for a little while. And by all accounts, even his own party members are looking at sort of having a bit of a word with him. I don't know how much of a word they're going to have. Take a shotgun to the back of his head while he's driving home. But that's just my...
I wasn't going to go that far. Jesus.
Wow.
Like, he would do it to other people, I think.
That doesn't make it okay.
His own sound. I was going to start at the beginning with... So his full name is Alexander Boris De Fifel Johnson.
Hold on, what?
Alexander Boris De Fifel Johnson.
Can we just call him De Fifel as a nickname? Or Fifel? Like Fifel goes west? Except
Fifel goes west.
Exactly. Yeah. So he is a politician, author, journalist, and has been Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and leader of the Conservative Party since 2019. He was born on June the 19th, 1964, in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, New York, and he actually... had a dual citizenship between the US and the UK.
Wow.
Which he had to, he basically abandoned his US right to citizenship to prove he was loyal to the UK. And also he got in a bunch of tax disputes with some money inherited because he was supposed to pay tax in the US and the UK. And he didn't want to. He did in the end, but...
Okay.
He says he did, but I reckon he's... he's a big lying git.
He is a big lying git.
He's a what? Sorry, I'm going to have to get... You guys are going to have to explain all this weird British shit to me.
Like a prick.
Like a prick.
Yeah, yeah. Like a bell end. A bell end, yeah. Arsehole.
A bell end, which I've just learned is the bell end of a penis. Right, okay. An asshole. Yeah. A git. Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
He's a git bell end prick. All right.
Yay!
Good old British slang.
I'm learning British swear words. It's fun.
John, something you'd find really funny is that people don't realize how offensive the word wanker is.
It's not.
No, you joke and you go to call somebody, oh, you buffoon. It's like almost like that.
So in Canada,
you could be in a business meeting and go, shut up, you wanker. And they go, that's a British word. That's really funny. And I'm like, yeah, you wanker.
How bad is it in Britain?
It means... Yeah, it's not very nice.
There's an American guy who does a really high-profile evening show, and everybody watches it. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And we got to go on the Jimmy Kimmel show years ago.
Oh, cool.
And
that's very cool.
Yeah, it was quite good. I think I have a feeling they didn't even put it on the TV in the end.
you had a nice day at the studio, though.
Yeah. Basically, our band was signed to Atlantic Records, so they did this thing where they send you around the world for no reason. And part of it was going on the Jimmy Kimmel show. We did this tune, and I think we used the word wanker quite openly there. They had no idea what it was.
It's great.
Either way, I don't think they did even show it on television in the end. It's somewhere on YouTube.
But did you have a nice day there?
But I remember being out of my mind in a caravan, like a trailer outside. it was really hot. And that's pretty much all I can remember.
That's good.
So rocking. Great time was had by all.
Yeah. Your Uncle John's world tour. Just a blur. Yeah.
So before we go on to hear more about the potato with pubes, that's how you aptly describe. Why don't we tease our audience as to what we have for Uncle, what Uncle John has for us later on in the episode so that they stick around during the potato part.
Well, yeah, Uncle John has a new podcast out.
So it's not just getting your friends to come on the show because we don't have any other guests. We have actual, he has a show that we're promoting.
There's a reason, I mean, I've got very little to do at the moment, and I am happy to fill any dead air. But there is a reason to be here.
We'll play the trailer at the end. This is the tease. We'll play the trailer at the end.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you want to learn more about Boris Johnson?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
Yeah, go on.
Potato Fievel.
So he... In 1969, when he was just still a kid, how old would he have been? 5 years old? The family returned to England and settled in West Nethercote Farm near Winsford in Somerset. And his dad
sounds so pretty.
Yeah. His dad, they were rich. They were a rich family. He had a really remote house. And his dad was never around. And his mother raised him with basically kind of nannies. And he was described as quiet and studious.
I thought you were going to say stupid, but okay.
And his earliest recorded ambition was to be world king, which is...
What a great ambition, world king.
World king. What do you want to be when you grow up? World king.
I think that's Leonardo DiCaprio in the Titanic, really.
Yes, but he... I mean, he's Prime Minister of the UK, so he's got like 1% of it.
Yeah, he's getting there. Yeah. So far, so good, right?
What did you want to be when you were little, John?
That's a great question.
It's a good question, actually. Probably, I know I wanted a giant rubber, it was in the back of a magazine called Fangoria, which was like a horror magazine. They had this thing for sale called The Victim, which was a three-quarters of a body.
Three-quarters
of a body?
Three-quarters of a body?
Yeah. Like, it had the legs missing, but it had one arm. And it was all
ripped up. It was just a torso with an arm.
Yeah, a torso with an arm. And I found this magazine in a bush and I took it home and I pleaded with my parents, please, it was American. So it said, I think it was $700. I was like, please, can I have this for Christmas? Please, can I have this for Christmas or Christmas and combined birthday? They said no.
because they're good parents.
Yeah. Please, can I have The Victim? Please, can I have The Victim? And I cut
it out. What were you planning on doing with it if they gave it to you? Can you imagine?
I would have made short films. I would have put it in my bed. I would have just slid down the stairs with it. It's all the stuff that a child does.
Yeah, yeah.
All the stuff a child does with a torso, a human torso.
That would have been a great kids' TV show, Me and My Torso.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to
and
have.
And my torso. Exactly. Look at the blood fly. So
there used to be a kids TV show in the UK called Woof, and there was a little boy, and he would suddenly get an itch behind his ear, and every time it happened he'd turn into a dog. And yeah, that was a weird show, wasn't it?
It was quite good, actually.
It was
sort of like a very friendly werewolf that just he helps it, like, save the school fate, things like that.
Yeah,
just to briefly nice.
He'd get, like, the local vicar's glasses out of the lake or something. Yeah, yeah.
It's a good job. I got these dog powers.
Yeah.
There was, speaking of the torso that you wanted so desperately as a child, it reminded me of the film industry in, God, it was a long time ago when I was told this. I'm going to say Brazil, but if I'm wrong and any of our audience members actually knows what country this is, please email us and let us know. I think it's Brazil. The horror industry in, again, saying Brazil, a while ago, maybe still today, although I doubt it. It was an honor when you died to donate your corpse to the local film industry to be used in horror movies.
I'd do that.
Yeah, it sounds like something you would do, honestly. But, like, that's if you wouldn't go and watch old horror movies from decades ago from that region. Apparently, the bodies that they're just chopping up and they're spewing about are real. Like, just get the family together. Look, everyone, there's Grandpa's torso just flinging about. Like,
do I donate my body to science for the betterment of human knowledge, or for a film to be film. Blown up?
Yeah,
blown up every time.
Put it in a film.
Yeah, yeah.
Blown up every time.
John, how would you describe Eton College?
Eton is a place. Imagine Harry Potter, physically the building, very, these sort of wonderful old, very established, old school sort of society run by incredibly rich people who what they do is they have loads of money and they pay for their kids to go there. And then those kids get loads of money and pay for their kids to go there. And then they have loads of money and they pay for their kids to go there. And then what they do when they leave or they graduate, as you say, in that part of the world, is that they then spend their time amassing more money and ruining everyone else's lives.
Yeah. It's basically, it is the elitist, the most elite of elite private schools.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. That's
where Boris Johnson went, is it?
Yay.
Bringing us back.
1977. And here, you know his kind of eccentric English persona. So he when he talks, he sounds like he's out of, I don't know, like some kind of like Little Women or something. You know, not Little Women. Yeah, Little Women.
He speaks like this.
Yeah,
he's kind of, the plan is to ruin the entire world.
Yeah, like using, this is your impression of
is good.
My mind. That's how he speaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, is this? I've never heard Boris Johnson speak. So is this an impression of him right now that you're doing?
Yeah, more or less. And what he likes to do is he likes to quote sort of a lot of old sort of
like classic literature.
Literature and stuff from sort of mythology and stuff like that. And he tries to sort of impress people by talking about, I don't know, Oedipus or you know, something like that.
All right, Reese, because I've never heard Boris Johnson speak, would you say that was a fairly decent impression?
That was a good impression.
That was a good impression. All right, Uncle John, I have a request for you. Could you, in the voice of Boris Johnson, describe to his wife the act of lovemaking that he is planning on doing later on this evening?
Yeah, okay. the balls, the cock and balls will be massaged repeatedly. Until they
okay, maybe we've gone too far.
I'm
gonna stop you there.
So
I regretted it immediately.
Yeah.
But
the sound, what this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
so when he was at Eton, he crafted this kind of eccentric English persona, which he's really famous for now. And apparently at school, all his reports complained about his idleness, complacency, and lateness. But he was well known and popular because he's quite entertaining, which kind of that describes everything about him today as well.
He's a total court jester. He's the sort of bloke that, like I said, he's incredibly rich, incredibly privileged. If you didn't know who he was and you met him in a pub, especially if you came from another country where you had no idea about customs and society over here, you'd probably sit and have a beer with him and think, what a fascinating, incredibly funny, strange man. He must be the local idiot with a lot of money. And you'd probably have a lovely afternoon with him.
Yeah, I imagine it would actually.
The danger is that this bumbling idiot with an incredible amount of money is somehow controlling the entire country and we're fucked. But you know,
it's been going around a lot lately.
It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
So he purposefully cultivates a shambolic look. So apparently he ruffles his hair before he goes out on camera.
He does that on purpose?
Yeah. To make his hair look, just to play the character. And his theory is that humor is a utensil you can use to sugar pill to get the important points across.
Hold on a second. Wait.
Exactly.
He's actually playing a character.
He's crafted this character.
No, but like for real.
Yeah, he'll ruffle his hair up and go, oh, brah, 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 brah.
And he does this on purpose.
Yes.
So that's not who he is.
I think he's running
the country as a character he invented.
At least that's the persona he's crafted for in public or when he's on camera.
Yeah. I would agree with that as well.
Yes, this is real.
Yeah. The more you see him on television or being interviewed, the more you can see this sort of, it's really strange and it's really manipulative because you can see how he could just stumble into a room and, oh, let me shake your hand. Oh, I've fallen over. Oh, I have a bit of dog poo on my leg. Oh, you know, and all the meantime, he's planning to kill your kids or something. You know,
imagine Hitler. Well, he's not as...
I have an example that I was going to ask you.
Well, say Hitler was... Every time he walked up onto stage, he fell over, and then, like, I don't know, he had silly hair. I mean, he looked pretty stupid anyway in that uniform, but, you know, and the goose step in and not everything else. But he is kind of like, he makes himself so unthreatening and kind of cheerful, and it's almost like people, you don't feel sorry for him, but you almost feel like he's undeserving to be too harsh to him because he does seem so bumbling and... Do you know what I mean? It's weird. Okay. It throws
he's very
you off.
Clever, yeah.
It kind of hacks your brain into going, he's not serious.
I have a question. This is blowing my mind, by the way. Like, this is the first I've heard of this. Is this like Rowan Atkinson running the country as Mr. Bean?
I think that would be, he'd do a better job.
But is that what you're talking about? Like, is this exactly what's happening? Kind of... So the second question I have is this just how people are interpreting him doing this, or is he literally doing this? Like, this is like...
I know he knows exactly what he's doing. So...
I think he's learned as well because, I mean, I'm sure Reese will, in his timeline of this insane man's life, we'll get to the point where he was a TV presenter for a while, which I'm sure will, you know, I won't say anything until you get to that thing. But that was a key time in him becoming a bumbling idiot that everyone was sort of laughing at. But like, yeah, he's all right. You know, he's just a bit of fun, isn't he? I always thought, you know, myself that, okay, this guy's, I don't agree with his politics, but as someone who's just going to dick about on TV, all right. Get on with it, you know. And what happened after that was just a nightmare.
I've got a quote here, I think it's by his biographer, and she said, Johnson is blessed with immense charisma, wit, appeal, and celebrity gold dust. He is also recognized and loved by millions, although perhaps less so by many who have worked closely with him. Resourceful, cunning, and strategic, he can pull off serious political coups when the greater good happens to coincide with his personal advantage. But these aspirations are rarely backed by concrete achievements or even detailed plans. So he is, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very, very manipulative.
And the other quote from her, he is an original, the opposite of a stereotype, the exception to the rule, overweight and goosey-fleshed. He is the antithesis of an airbrush pinup. He resembles a human laundry basket and has a habit of forgetting to shower.
It's so true. I always think, for people, you know, in Canada or anywhere in the world who aren't too sure what he looks like, just refer to the 1960 movie, The Time Machine, H.G. Wells' The Time Machine. I think a lot of people have seen this film. At one point, our main character goes so far into the future, there's two races of people, the Eloi and the Morlock. And the Eloi are the peaceful, above-earth-dwelling humans, and the Morlock are these cave-dwelling monsters that eat human flesh. And he looks like one of the Morlocks.
He does.
I don't know if you can get a picture.
Okay. Yeah.
He looks exactly, but he's not as green. But besides that, he looks like a Morlock.
But also that...
Massive, rubbery Morlock.
The bumbling kind of like innocent ruffled haired persona that he plays, who, you know, gets a bit lost for words, and if you search on YouTube, there's footage of him playing rugby with children, and he knocks a child over. Footage of him getting stuck on a zip wire holding two British flags promoting the Olympics,
amazing.
And they had to cut him
that
down. He purposefully, he's always riding a bike and looks really stupid on the bike, and he'll fall over, and he's just built this, he's like, whatever the goofiest thing he can think of doing, he will do it. And then it will just look stupid and ridiculous, and it reinforces that idea that he's harmless and bumbling. And
then he'll go behind the scenes and destroy half the country.
Like. This is it. Yeah. He's got a very nasty streak in him. And so apparently if you insult him personally, he has a really nasty side. So somebody, apparently the Telegraph published an article about his personal life, and he emailed the editor at the time, and it just said, fuck off and die.
At one point, didn't he pay someone to beat a journalist up? And they had the recording of him on the phone, just saying, what can you do? Don't smash him up too badly, but, you know, give him a good beat.
They drove around London looking for him to beat him up because he wrote a nasty article.
And he didn't get arrested for that?
No, he's rich and he's posh, so they don't get arrested for stuff like that. They'll go, we're just having fun. And they go, yes, sir.
Wow,
because I know my place.
Right, so, that's exactly what happens.
He hides his kind of ruthlessness, but also he's pretty racist.
Lovely.
He's pretty homophobic too.
Great.
I forgot this bit actually. His favorite movie is The Godfather due to the multiple retribution killings at the end.
Oh my God.
I've got some great examples of horrible things he said. When I say great, I mean great in the sense that they really
entertaining
you,
for our
no,
show.
Great in the sense they give you a really idea of how horrible he is as a human being.
All right.
So he's pretty divisive. He's really personally responsible for Brexit. He was one of the driving forces behind it.
Can you explain in 30 seconds or less what Brexit is for me and anybody else who doesn't know?
Since World War II, Europe has integrated in terms of trade and partnership with each other in an effort that was promoted by the post-wartime leaders like Winston Churchill and everybody else to make sure that Europe never ended up at war with each other again, because it happened twice before and millions of people had died. And a kind of a path of friendship and trade and interdependence was planned.
With all the countries within Europe.
27 countries. And that was what was happening. And it was very good for everyone. It was kind of genuinely spreading democracy and helping stop corruption. And some right-wing people in the UK didn't like the fact that the UK was changing as a country because there was a lot of immigration from other parts of Europe and other places, and convinced people that they should be terrified of that and that they should essentially vote, and if Britain left the EU, could be like another great empire again, and kind of went on that kind of nostalgia for the time when Britain was a world power, and convinced just enough people to vote for it.
Wow.
And now there's no food on the shelves.
Is that true?
did I nail that, John? Was that close?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that pretty much says it. I mean, basically, before this happened, it was really easy for businesses to trade and for people to cross the numerous amount of boundaries between all the countries, and for life to move pretty in a pretty slick way, you know. But since this has happened, everything is just, you're getting these reports every day about how things are changing, how they're going to change, and there, it's just been chaos here over the past few months. Like truckers and people, long distance drivers and freight companies have not been able to cross the borders, and when they do, bringing stuff back in, is nobody knows how it's going to be done. They've been spending months telling businesses, get ready, we're leaving Europe, get ready, you've got to fill out the right paperwork, and every single business is like, what is the right paperwork? And it seems to be they're like, oh, we don't know, but we told you to get ready for it, and so get ready.
So
it's just chaos.
So before Brexit, with our British passports, we could have moved to any of the other 26 countries, so Italy, Spain, France, we could have got jobs there, we could have retired there, we could have used the health system there. We were essentially citizens of all those other countries. And a lot of people used that and got to immerse themselves.
Amazing.
And that's gone now because that was a bad thing.
Are the rest of those countries still interconnected with each other?
Yes, they are. So they're laughing because they're going, hey, well, we're still having a great time.
So someone who was born in Italy can move to any of the other European countries except for Britain?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's, wow, Jesus.
Yeah. So,
that's Brexit. That's fun. And that's because of Boris Johnson laundry bag.
Yeah, laundry basket.
Laundry basket, potato head.
And now I'm going to read out a series of quotes that he said that is deeply offensive to so many people.
Yay!
He called gay men bum boys.
Jesus.
Which is because he's a dick. And also he called Muslim women...
Was this like public? Like in front of a...
He said it and he's written these things in articles. He actually wrote an article that is... Islamic women look like letterboxes or a bank robber.
That's horrible.
What the fuck?
Jesus Christ.
And he once labeled, and this is a kind of Victorian racism that he draws on. So
Victorian racism?
So imagine Sherlock Holmes' racist cousin, the kind of things he would say.
I don't even know where to start.
Well, I'll give you an example. Okay. So he once labeled black Africans he met as pickaninnies with watermelon smiles.
Jesus.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. But it does sound terrible.
Yeah. A watermelon smile sounds very offensive.
Is that where you take like a piece of watermelon and stick it like an orange rind, but you stick it in where your teeth are, so you have a big orange smile?
But it's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
So what is he doing? I'm under the impression if you run a country, you're supposed to unify it somehow.
Yeah.
That's just a rough guess of what you're supposed to do.
I mean, I don't think so. I look at what Trump did for the past 4 years of dividing the country, and they're doing great.
Okay. Yeah.
He doesn't seem to have a very, he's not very woke when it comes to Africa. He said, the problem is not that we were once in charge, but that we're not in charge anymore, you hear British people say stuff like that. They don't understand the terror of the British Empire sometimes.
And I don't understand the terror of the British Empire. Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
Was it?
It's weird because historically we have this massive empire.
One third of the world and half of the population.
Wow.
Yeah. Look how powerful we were. It was great. Everything was in control then, but it's like, well, not really. We just basically smashed everyone and treated everyone like shit and stole everything from them, as empires traditionally always have.
Right,
we just move on from that and just try and not do that again. That's fine. that's fine.
Canada was some reason, owned by the Brits, pretty much. Like we weren't really, they didn't really care. They're like, with this cold northern tundra over there, they just think we are. Right? Yeah, it's like, you guys just do your thing. As long as you know we own you, that's fine.
And
we're like, sure. Meanwhile, we're like slowly taking over the world with our curling rinks and Tim Hortons.
Timbits.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear what he said about Malaysian women?
No. But yes.
He said they go to university to find men to marry, which I don't know what he's got against Malaysian women. It's a very specific insult.
That's very specific.
It's so strange.
Yeah.
Like it's almost as if he had to do research to be racist. Like that's effort.
I think he did the classic racist research where you just look at something and then just basically say it's shit for no reason at all. I think that was about as far as his research went.
In the wake of the London bombings, he questioned the loyalty of British Muslims and insisted the country must accept that Islam is the problem. And he said, what is going on in these mosques and madrasas? When is someone going to get 18th century on Islam's medieval ass?
Jesus.
This quote, which is a great way to unify the country.
And most people voted him in.
Yep. He's really popular. Yeah. He had the biggest majority of votes since Margaret Thatcher in the 80s.
Okay, so this goes back to something I was saying and have been saying for a long time about Trump, and I think this applies just as equally. Whereas Trump is not the problem, Boris Johnson is not the problem. They are the symptoms.
Yes.
You remove them, the people who voted them in the first place, they're still there.
They'll just choose somebody else.
It's there. The people, why are the people like this? How did the people get like this? What environments did we create in order to foster this sort of thinking? Whereas these people, there's enough of these people that would vote in imbeciles like this. That's the problem, and always has been the problem. And that's what we should be addressing. But we're always, as a world, as a nation, these clowns at the world stages are so loud and imbecilic and crazy that they're taking all the attention away. Like, it's working. It's amazing. You know, we're doing an entire episode about one of them right now. You know.
Yeah. Well, in June 2016, Nick Clegg, the former deputy prime minister, described him as like Donald Trump with a thesaurus.
That's pretty good.
That's
good.
And
he's got better control of language than Donald Trump.
He knows more. He knows 10 more words.
Yeah.
So
10 more words.
And Conservative MP Kenneth Clark described him as a nicer Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
And Donald Trump acknowledged the comparison, saying that British people refer to Boris Johnson as Britain Trump, which literally nobody has ever said. Do you call him Britain Trump? Do you have people in the pub calling him Britain Trump?
Yeah, a lot of people. Oh, Britsy's doing all right at the moment, isn't he? What with
BT
smashing the country up? Yeah, BT. BT does it again.
Yeah. My favorite fact about him, and this happened during the election campaign, he refused to answer how many children he had.
He doesn't even know.
He doesn't know how many children
he doesn't even know by all accounts. So, he spends his time, this giant Morlock-based potato racist man. He spends his time somehow seducing women.
Yeah.
And
what? Hold on, hold on. Successfully so?
Well, yeah, he's got four children.
He's pumping kids out. Yeah, pumping kids out everywhere. And he refuses to sort of, by all accounts, to admit as to how many he's got.
Amazing.
I'm not really sure how many he's got because I'm not that interested in him as a person. But yeah, it's just who, regardless of who he is and what he does, who would want to get touching that cheese because it's disgusting.
But he's, according to Wikipedia, he's known to have four children with his second wife, a fifth child from an affair, and now a sixth child with his fiance, who's a lot younger than him, like half his age.
I'm just lost for words. I'm totally lost for words.
Did you enjoy learning about Boris Johnson?
Oh, are we done?
That's all of my... Oh, there's a ton more we could talk about.
I'm fascinated. I would have sit here for another hour and listened to this stuff. This is amazing.
He's an endless font of entertainment and depression.
Well, I was going to say, I'm a little sad that Trump is gone now because a good source of entertainment has left the world stage. But now we're talking about another imbecile.
Victorian Britain Trump.
Right, yeah, Victorian Britain Trump. So let's still, bring on the imbeciles. There's another one. That's great.
So Google...
Honestly, it's true, yeah. If you can now... get onto Twitter, get on the internet and start following British politics and you will have a really good time.
What?
John.
Have a really good time.
Uncle John.
Uncle John.
Hi.
We obviously there was this ulterior motive for you being on the show too. Not just because you're a good laugh and we're having fun, but also because...
And I'm really digging your accent too, which is just slightly different from Reese's, that it's causing this weird stereo effect in my head where I've got one slightly different British accent in one ear and another.
John is from a Welsh city and I'm from a semi-rural mountainous area. So
I'm telling you, I can tell the difference. There's a difference.
Yeah, you can tell by the accent.
There is. It's amazing actually because it changes dramatically throughout Wales. You want to try and get some North Walian people on here because I think they've got the best accent.
Do your North Wales accent.
A friend of mine had both his eyeballs ripped out by an alien that came out of the sky and it was green and called itself Gary. It was really amazing. That's how North Wales speak, and I love it.
I understood about three of those words.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Can you do a Cardiff accent? Because Cardiff is a city that is 20 minutes from the city you're from.
Yeah, Cardiff, mate, is more like that, ain't it? You go to Cardiff and you have a couple of drinks like with a lad. And the next thing you know, you're punching someone in a ball bag, having a fucking fight, ain't you? But that's what it is, mate.
Exactly. This is amazing. Oh, my God. Let's just keep doing this.
John is an accent encyclopedia.
Get him to do another one.
Can you do Glasgow?
Glasgow's more like that. It's a bit more sort of aggressive almost, doesn't it? It brings it right out.
Middle class.
See me, right? What I did, right? I went out. I got a packet of crisps. Right, opened them up. pulled them down my trousers, then scrumpled them all up in my pubes, right, and got them all mashed up, then took a photograph, put it on the internet, showed it to all my mates. Brilliant. That's
most. I'm blown away right now.
And now, just for the subtlety, can you do middle-class Scottish?
Hello, it's very nice to see you here today. I'm very excited to know that you've made the attempt to crush a packet of crisps into your trousers. But I don't think, essentially, we really want to see that kind of thing happening around here at the moment. So perhaps just take it to the back room and we'll look at that later. So
this is great. Amazing.
John, so, John, there are so many accents in the UK, and John has nailed pretty much all of them.
Can you do accents outside of the UK?
Quite a few. I spent yesterday pretending to be an Italian called Dominic. Just
let's hear a little Dominic.
Hello, it's a Dominic, a friend of Paolo. I'm happy to speak to you now, but only for a short time because I have a lot of things to do. I'm trying to organize a party at the moment. It's going to be big. It's going to be for like 4 or 5 people, but I'm not sure if they can all make it at the same time. But if they can, I'm going to try and get the big house. And we'll go in and we'll have a good time. And, you know, it's going to be good.
Do you think you could pull off a Newfoundland accent?
Have you heard that before? See, that's a tough one if you haven't heard
it. It's hard to do.
Yeah, I know there's a sort of like homogenous Canadian sound, but Newfoundland, I wouldn't know what the exact... what you would do for it. I don't know if I went for a sort of Canadian sound, but so...
Without doing it, because I don't do a great job of it, I'll describe how to do it. Picture you're on a fishing boat. I've said this before on our show. Picture you're on a fishing boat and there's not enough hands to pull all the ropes, so you've got to take some of the rope and put it in your teeth. So your jaw is locked in place. Your jaw doesn't move. Your lips can still move. Your lips can still move and form vowels, but your jaw doesn't move and your tongue is at the back of your throat. And you talk real fast, because you got to get the words out, because you got to get that fish up.
Got to get out there, make sure you're getting your pants ripped off, eh? Yeah, make you take it out there and put a bit of rope around your neck and throw yourself in the water, eh? See how it all works out there. Something like that.
It's hard. Getting someone to do an accent if they've never heard it before.
That's true,
That was a good go, though,
John. That was a good try, It was a good
try. Anyway, John, should we play your trailer before we use every accent you've ever done?
I'm happy to just sit here and listen to John do accents all night. Honest to God, this is a treat. But yes, let's play John's trailer.
Tell us about the show first.
Oh, yeah, please.
Meet the Street. It is the new revolution in podcast entertainment, created out of sheer boredom during lockdown. Obviously, I haven't been able to go anywhere to do anything. And I realized that when you're all locked in your house, it's all about watching your neighbors out of the window. And it can become quite fascinating. So I essentially created this character called David Plimpton, who is a retiree. He's in his 70s and he spends his time at home speaking with his neighbors, interviewing them about their lives, what they do, what they get up to. And David's a lovely man, but he gets slightly confused.
I'm assuming you do all the voices?
Yeah. So, hello, everybody. It's David Plimpton, and I'm very excited to be here today to talk to you about my new podcast, which is a very new venture for me because I've never used a computer before. But nonetheless, I've tried. And indeed, I've created this wonderful program called Meet the Street, which I'm very excited to play to you and will be available on all podcast platforms very shortly, as soon as I can figure out how to get the floppy disk to work.
I'm going to play the trailer. I'll play the trailer.
Oh, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Greetings and salutations. David Plimpton here, the next door neighbor you never knew you had. Until now. Like many people the length and breadth of the country, I've made it my duty to get to know everything about the people in my street. Everything. And seeing as no one else is listening, I thought I could share it with you in this series of special programmes documenting all of the exciting things that go on in and around my neighbourhood. Each episode, there'll be exciting news updates.
It's James Ruskin from the library again, Mr. Plimpton. Just to reiterate regarding your query, Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley isn't actually a real book. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I'll be keeping a keen eye on the community. Jill, I can see him. He's out there now. And it's a 50-inch television. That's clearly not going to fit through anybody's front door. And most importantly, holding a series of informal interviews with people just like you.
I am Adrian Nutley, and I have the longest middle finger in Great Britain. It's the middle finger of my right hand.
Great stuff.
My name is C.J. Wivel. I'm a fantasy author. I'm responsible for the creation of the schoolboy detective Euripides Jenkins.
Now that's magic.
I teach people what the buttons do on a computer. How does it come on? How does it come off? What do I do with a plug?
So if you like that, imagine the four or five other things I've got in store. So sit back, pour yourself a cup of tea, and join me, David Plimpton, as we meet the street. Until then, goodbye!
Jill, I finished. I've done it. I can come and change the bandages on your knee now. Don't worry about coming up the stairs. I'll come down to you. Is it off?
Oh, John. Yet another masterpiece.
That's so funny, man.
That's the joy of meet the street. Yeah, sorry, I've made six episodes, and I've got some of the voices on there. Adrian Nutley is a guy called.
Is it up
Mark
right now?
Davis. It's the trailer is up at the moment, and it's just waiting to be verified for iTunes, because you know you upload it to like whatever the main audio book. Mm-hmm.
What date are you going to start releasing? Hopefully.
So I think next Monday, I think I'm going to put the first one up. If you go there at the moment, you'll just get that trailer.
So from the end of January, beginning of February, it'll be available.
Yeah,
if people search Meet the Street.
Yeah, you can look for, I think it's at Meet the Street 1 on Facebook, or I think it's at David Plimpton on Twitter.
I'm enjoying David Plimpton's Twitter feed. It is literally you playing the character of an old man who's never used Twitter before.
Yeah, that is quite good fun, because basically I sent a friend of mine a copy of some stuff and said, you know, what do you think of this? He said, it's great. It is basically you, isn't it? And I was like, yes, it is me. All of it is me. I'm totally inept at using technology and really have no idea what's going on in the real world, but I am fascinated by people with incredibly long fingers.
I'll read you some of the tweets, Jesse.
All right, yeah.
What exactly is a dot matrix printer? And do I need one to make a podcast?
That's a personal favorite.
Was the one taking the internet by storm? I now have 5 followers.
Yeah.
And the other one, no context, in August you tweeted, it's nearly ready, and that's it.
Yeah, I've been running it for a little while, so I've just been sort of putting bits up.
The fact that you did all the voices in that trailer still blows my mind. Anybody who can do voices blows my mind.
Adrian Nutley, CJ Wivel, and the computer guy are all comedians in their own right, and they're really talented people.
So yeah, John, Meet the Street, available on all podcast platforms soon.
Yeah, very soon. I think it's on the Audio Boom at the moment, and then from there it spreads out to all of the other platforms, and then they take a few days to say, I'm just making this thing go on to here. So within the next week or so, I will get the first episode up, and I've got some real treats for you. There's one of my favorites is a guy in that trailer, CJ Wivel, who's a fantasy author, who's written a children's adventure book about a character called Euripides Jenkins, who is a schoolboy detective with an incredible sense of smell. And there's even an excerpt from the book within that episode. And that's a wonderful experience. That was with a guy called Alex Lowe, who is I think, one of the funniest people in Britain.
So you don't do all the voices. Those in the trailer, those are actually other comedians?
Those last three at the end are other people, yeah.
Oh, okay, I was thinking like, wow, this, you know, like Uncle John is really, really talented here. He's doing all these different voices. Yeah, and they don't even sound like now, yeah.
Uncle John could be anyone's uncle.
Yeah. I often remember when we used to pretend to be Christopher Walken in the car? That used to be fun.
Do Christopher Walken.
So these men walked into my home last night, sometime 9, maybe 10, I don't know. And try to touch my face over and over again. Disgusting, outraged, almost.
I have a Christopher Walken story.
Really?
Oh, go on.
It didn't happen to me. It happened to the son of the friend of my mother's. So it's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon sort of thing. But I forget his name, but this guy was in a movie as an extra here in, I believe, Nova Scotia. Christopher Walken was doing a movie here in Nova Scotia. This is years ago. And this guy was just having a, he would, you know, I don't know if you've ever been an extra, but there's a lot of waiting around, like a lot, right? And then they call you on set. Okay, you're going to walk from point A to point B. There you go. Okay, go off and have a biscuit and just wait again for another 3 hours. And that's your job as an extra. You do a lot of sitting around. And on the first day, he's like, oh my God, there's Christopher Walken over there. And he could point to his other extra friends and he's, there he is, there he is. And Christopher Walken's walking across the set. And Christopher Walken, for whatever reason, turns his head and locks eyes with this guy. Okay, we're going to, I'll call him Bobby because I forget his name. I'm sorry, whoever you are, that I forget your name. He locks eyes with Bobby, right? And he doesn't know why, because he doesn't know him. Then he just, Christopher Walken just keeps on walking and then just disappears. And I'm like, okay, that was weird. The next day he comes to set, right? And he's doing his job as an extra or whatever. And he's eating some bagels and just waiting a lot. And there goes Christopher Walken again, down the set, way down. And then he turns and he looks and he locks eyes with Bobby again, right? As if like, as if he owes him money or something, right? He just kind of stares him down and as he just keeps walking away and it's really freaking him out. And he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. And the day three happens and Bobby's by himself and he's having a smoke and it's raining. And Christopher Walken is walking around and he stops and he sees Bobby. And Christopher Walken turns his whole body and just stares at him. And then he just starts like pretty much just walking, charging straight towards him. This is Christopher Walken just staring, barreling him down the stair, you know, as he's like just walking, just marching straight towards Bobby. And Bobby takes off running and never comes back. He doesn't quit. He doesn't tell anyone he's quitting. He doesn't tell anyone. He just gets so freaked out that Christopher Walken charged barreled down at him for no reason whatsoever that he just takes off, doesn't tell anyone, and never returns. That's
wow.
So we don't know
what his intention was.
No idea. I'm assuming it was to bum a smoke, but I have no idea.
That's good.
That's good.
That's a good story, though.
Yeah, I think so.
That is good.
Tom Selleck, somebody was telling me here that he was filming stuff here, and he used to bring his yacht and park it up in downtown Halifax on the waterfront. And they were in an Italian restaurant, and they went in there, and Tom Selleck was behind the bar just helping himself to beer.
What? That's good.
Did he just let him, or he just like, fuck it, who's going to stop me?
I think he was just like, hey, can I come and privately drink beer in this bar? And they were like, yeah, go on, you're Tom
Selleck. It's Tom Selleck. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yes, Tom.
Like, I suppose like you'd have that sort of you could have that sort of authority if you were a celebrity that like, how much could you get away with? Right. Let's go to a restaurant with my wife and like, you know, I'm Bill Murray or whatever. And I'm just, you know, when I want to get a glass of whiskey, I'm not going to ask anyone. I'm just going to walk behind the bar, shove the waiter away, pour myself a glass of whiskey and go sit down. Who's going to stop me? Like that's.
And if they say anything, go, I'm researching a role.
That's the way to do it.
John, have you got any good celebrity stories from your time on tour?
I got some really good shit celebrity stories.
Yes.
I once stood next to Paul McCartney.
Nice.
Did nothing to say to him. So,
you know, just basked in his presence.
That was good. I once sat on the same table as Kraftwerk and we had a meal.
Who? The German electropop band.
Oh. Yeah, that was quite good. And when we went to Japan, we had this festival called Sonic Mania, and our dressing room was in this big sort of events arena, and next to us was Marilyn Manson's dressing room.
Wow.
And there was a toilet that said for Mr. Manson only, and Mike Balls, who's in the band, said, fuck this, I'm going for a shit in Marilyn Manson's toilet. And he went in to go for a shit, and Marilyn Manson then came up to the door and as he was trying to pull the door, I think Marilyn Manson was coming out, and he looked at Marilyn Manson, who was wearing, I believe, the full stage makeup at this time, and is incredibly tall anyway. I just looked him in the eye and said, sorry, Mr. Manson, and turned around and walked off.
Like he was the head teacher.
Because he was like, fuck this, I'm going to go and have a dump in Marilyn Manson's toilet. I don't care.
What's he going to do?
What's he going to do? And then it obviously didn't happen.
Amazing.
There's been a lot of just like... being near, I saw Elton John, I was at a do once, and Elton John and Bono were there. And Bono punched my mate in the kidneys. Hey, like being all, hey, all right, lads, Ray. And he punched me in a sort of play fight way. And Elton John looked remarkably like the green blob from Ghostbusters in real life. It was shocking.
John has this amazing habit of making up stories for magazines when you've been interviewed. What? Is that what you said about
telling lies to people? It's brilliant.
So whenever you get interviewed for a magazine, you'll just make up fake celebrity stories and it gets published in print.
Oh my gosh, that's so brilliant. I'm going to do that. I'm totally stealing that idea.
The one you told, it's, I think, brilliant. You told the journalist that you spent all day with Jay-Z on his slip and slide.
No, it was Kanye West. How did you go about recording the new album? So we went out to LA and we spent like a month with Kanye West in the studio. He was so enthralled by the idea of getting a slip and slide. We just got that and we just played on that for a month and we didn't get anything recorded. So we had to come home and record everything at home instead. And we spent like, you know, 750 grand on doing it, but it was a really good life experience. And it's just so many of those ridiculous things. Like we did these things where like you sometimes would go to like festivals and they'd quite often at festivals, there'd be maybe backstage, there'd be like a guitar and they'd get all the really famous bands to sign the guitar, and then the guitar would go off and be auctioned for charity, and you'd always sign it like John Lennon or Ringo Starr or something like that, and that was always really good fun, just writing fake autographs on stuff and seeing if anyone noticed it.
It's for a good cause.
That reminds me, actually, this is nothing to do with meeting famous people, but I went to a wedding once and I didn't know anyone there, and the couple getting married had this thing which was like a picture frame with just two bits of glass in it and then all these tiny little cork hearts, and the idea was you were supposed to write something like love will last forever, congratulations on these hearts, and then drop them in, so it filled up this picture frame with all these cork hearts with memories in, and I just wrote I will kill again and just dropped it in there. Enough to think that is somewhere on someone's wall somewhere.
Memories that last a lifetime.
Exactly.
Did you know the couple, or were you just walking by?
No, I was dating this girl at the time, and she was a bit of a dick anyway. So,
John, thank you so much
for
helping me teach Jesse and the Canadian people about Boris Johnson, and sharing your awesome stories with us.
Well, if you want to have a good time, just check out some British politics at the moment. You don't have to go too deep, because obviously you will reach a point where you just want to put your fingers down your mouth and vomit, and then eat the vomit afterwards to get rid of the horrible taste of vomit. But
that's what my dog does.
I look forward to keeping up to date with what you guys are doing on the old Twitter. Have you got a Facebook page as well?
No, we do. We don't really use it.
Yeah, we're mainly on Instagram because
Instagram and Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah,
Facebook is.
I'll keep up to date.
But basically, a non-stop garbage can of burning hot garbage.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's just anger and
hatred. Never burns out.
Yeah. Well, John, we'll say thank you very much and good night.
Thank you. It was fun.
And good luck with the new show. I will be listening.
Thanks.
As
you'll
will
be
I.
the other guy.
Meet the
You'll be the two other guys listening. So this is going to be a strong show.
Sweet.
It's going to be a strong show.
Yes. Also, so. Good luck, Uncle John. And thanks for coming on our show.
Live the dream. Always wash your hands. Don't smoke in bed. And... nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. Great times, guys.
Bye. Oh, I like that. Oh, bye.